Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Wait on the Lord. You know, our temptation is often going to be to not do that. In some cases, the temptation will be to just give up on the Lord. There are some people that have just said, you know what? I trusted God and He didn't come through. I'm done. I'm giving up. I'm not going back to church. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. You know, people are doing that. That is not the thing to do. That is the absolute wrong thing to do.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series, The Songs of the Saints. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Psalm 27 in a message titled, Wait on the Lord. Now here's Pastor Brian.
That's where David is. In his deepest heart of hearts, more than anything else, he wants the Lord. He wants to know the Lord. And as he expresses here, what he's really talking about is he wants to sense the presence of God in his life. So he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David lived at a time, of course, the temple wasn't built. David would be the one who would supply the materials, and his son Solomon would build it. But there was the tabernacle that was the place of God's dwelling prior to the temple. But I think here too, David's even looking beyond that. He's thinking about the Lord's temple literally in heaven. And he's saying, I want to experience God's presence. I want to experience God's presence here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And for us, knowing God's presence, experiencing God's presence, this is what the Christian life is, it's about. It's living in the presence of God. And the people of God, historically, that has been the thing. You know, we thank God for the blessings. We thank God for all the benefits. We thank Him for forgiveness of sins. And we thank Him for eternal life. And we thank Him for the knowledge that we gain of Him, you know, through His word. We thank Him for all these things. But the thing beyond all of that that we want is to know Him experientially and to sense His presence in our life. And David, that's his longing as well. But listen to what he says. This is what he does. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. That will I seek. So David understands that the presence of the Lord is the desirable thing, but he also understands that it's something that we must seek. We must pursue that presence of the Lord. It's not just simply that, oh, I really would love to experience the presence of the Lord. We need to seek the Lord as well. And the Lord told us that. Look in verse 8, here's the dialogue between David and the Lord. Verse 7, he says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Listen to this. When you said, seek my face. So this is God speaking to David. You said, seek my face. And then David's response, your face, Lord, I will seek. Your face, Lord, I will seek. So we're talking about the presence of God. And it's clear that God wants us to experience His presence. You know, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in working for the Lord. And it's wonderful to work for the Lord. Don't get me wrong. It is a wonderful thing to do, to be part of the work that God's doing in the world, to be used by Him, to be an instrument. All of that is so fantastic. It's so wonderful. But sometimes we can exchange working for the Lord with the presence of the Lord, being with the Lord. And I have to remind myself of this a lot, that the Lord didn't redeem me first and foremost to be a worker. He allows me to work for Him. He calls me into His service and so forth. But the first objective in our redemption is fellowship. God saved us so that He might have that relationship with us. He saved us so we might mutually know one another, that we might know him, that we might know his presence. But like I said, that involves seeking him. We have to take the time to seek the Lord. We have to take time out of our busy schedule. We have to take time out of sometimes things that we might prefer to do at the moment. I might want to run off and go have some fun doing something. And that's fine to do that. But there's a time when I need to say, you know what? That's not as important. Right now, I need to seek the Lord, because the Lord said, seek my face. And David's response, Lord, your face I will seek. And that is how that one desire, that desire for God's presence, that is how that's going to be realized. It's going to be realized as we seek the Lord, as we just spend time with him, as we take the opportunities that come along, say the time even like we have today here, not just with the teaching, but just say during the time of worship, that we say, I'm going to clear my mind and I am going to focus on the Lord. Lord, I'm going to seek you right now. And we do that. And many times when we do that, we have a sense of God's presence. I've had times where I have just sensed the very presence of Jesus in the room as we've just taken the time to seek him. And so you might do it in this environment, but you might do it on your own as well, or maybe just with a small group of people, but on your own, as we take the time to just get away and say, Lord, I just want to seek you. It's there that we will experience that presence. But remember, it comes from the singular focus. We all live busy lives. We all have lots of things that are on our plate. We all have several commitments, and we have so many things. And David did too. He had all of those kinds of things, but he said, above all of that, one thing have I desired. And so that was his singular focus. And then thirdly, we come to David expressing his faith. Now, remember, as I said in the beginning, the psalm, the context of the psalm is David's, his confidence that the Lord is with him, that the Lord is not going to let his enemies overcome him. David was a person who was, he lived much of his life under attack from the enemy. He was relentlessly pursued by Saul and Saul's army. Saul wanted to destroy David because Saul was jealous of David and he could see the writing on the wall. He knew that David would be the king someday and he didn't want that to happen. And so a good period of David's life, I don't know, 10 years or so, David was like a fugitive. He was on the run. And it just, as you read through the stories of 1 Samuel especially, you will see that it's just one battle after another for David in so many ways. He has the great victory over Goliath. That's where it all starts. And you think, wow, what an amazing start. And it's just got to be all uphill from here. I mean, David takes down the greatest foe of Israel. And he's a young, you know, probably young teenager at the time. And everybody's amazed. And you think, wow, here he goes on his career. And yet, actually, that was the high point. And then it all sort of went downhill from there because Saul became jealous of him and sought to destroy him. So many of the Psalms that David writes are about this time in his life where he was being pursued, where the enemy was after him. And this happened not just prior to his becoming the king, but this happened later in life too with David. So there were those times with David where he felt like, I don't know if I'm going to survive. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this difficult season. And he would pin that in so many of the different Psalms. And that's a reminder to us that God's people, we go through difficulties. We go through these seasons of affliction and suffering, and we're tempted at times to question, are we going to make it? Is God faithful? You know, I heard a horrible thing today. Actually, I was listening to two pastors have a conversation. It was a recorded conversation, And one of them said that in the last, I think it was 3 to 6 months, I don't remember the time frame, but he said that he personally knew of three pastors who had committed suicide. And man, I just thought, Lord, have mercy, Lord, help. And I hear that's extreme, obviously, but you know, we're hearing a lot today. If you read in, you know, Christian media, you kind of keep up on what's going on in the evangelical world. One of the current conversations, a big conversation, is the discouragement of people who are in Christian leadership right now, going through these difficult times, not knowing what the outcome's going to be. And you don't have to be a pastor or a Christian leader. You can be there yourself just because you're looking at your job, maybe you've lost it, you don't see any prospect for anything in the future, or maybe there's a possibility that you might lose it, or maybe you had planned on something and everything went sideways and now all of those plans are just kind of washed down the drain and you're wondering, where do we go from here? Well, this is where faith comes into the picture. And David expresses the faith that he had in the 13th verse of this 27th Psalm. And listen to what he said. And I want to say that this 13th verse has been a lifesaver for me. As a matter of fact, I was looking in, I picked up one of my older Bibles to look at this Psalm in it, just because it was close at hand and the font is a little better for my eyesight. So I picked it up. And right next to verse 13, it said this. It said, promise from the Lord, 2003. Now, I can't remember writing that or why I wrote it at the time, but I obviously wrote it because I was going through a challenging moment. And so this was the promise that I latched onto. What David said here, verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So from 2003, and I know I probably could find another Bible where I had a reference to it before that, and I have references to it after that. I have come back to this passage so many times because it is such a wonderful promise, but it's a reminder of the need for faith because we are tempted to lose heart. We're tempted to give up. That's the idea. I would have given up. I would have thrown in the towel. Paul, in writing to the Galatians, he said to them, he said, do not become weary while doing good. And when you're doing good, when you're trying to do the right thing, when you're seeking to live for the Lord, and everything seems to be going in the wrong direction, this can become discouraging, to say the least. And so we can come to that place where we feel like I'm about to give up. But what did David do? He said, I believed. I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, what David was saying is, I believed the promises of God. I stood on the promises of God despite what I saw in front of me or despite what was going on around me. And every one of us have to do that at times in our lives. And I think for every single person, I think that everyone has to do this right now because all of our experience is similar. We all are in the similar time of confusion and perplexity and uncertainty. And all of us are in various ways going to be tempted toward discouragement and tempted toward despair, giving up, losing heart. How do we survive it? I believed in the goodness of the Lord. I believed in the goodness of the Lord. I believed in the promises of God. And here's the thing that I want us to take away here today. David says, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to be overcome or destroyed by those things that are against me. And what we need to do today is we need to believe the goodness of the Lord. We need to go back to the promises that God has made and say, no, I believe this rather than this. This is shouting at me. This is in my face. This is telling me this is the new reality. This is telling me this is the way it's going to be. And it's overwhelming me, and it's causing me to be frightened, and it's causing me to be depressed. And how do I do it? What do I do? It's so powerful. It's going to overpower me. David said, no, I believed. I believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so that is how we survive these times, whether they're personal things or whether it's something that all of us are going through, whatever the case might be, this is how we do it. We fall back on the promise of God, and then we have this final word in verse 14. So I believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So what do I do now? David says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know, our temptation is often going to be to not do that. In some cases, a temptation will be to just give up on the Lord. There are some people that have just said, you know what? I trusted God and he didn't come through. I'm done. I'm giving up. I'm not going back to church. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. You know, people are doing that. That is not the thing to do. That is the absolute wrong thing to do. Or in other cases, people aren't saying, I'm going to abandon the Lord, but they're saying, well, obviously God's not coming through for me. So I got to take everything into my own hands. I got to fix this. I got to sort this out. I got to make this work. And that's not the way to go either, because in doing that, we generally only make things worse. We only mess things up. And so we don't want to do that. What do? We wait on the Lord. And notice he says at the very final part of verse 14, he says, wait on the Lord. And then at the end, he says, wait, I say, on the Lord. It's like, I said it once, let me say it again. Wait on the Lord. But what does he say? What's in the middle? Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. He will strengthen your heart. You know, sometimes we are stubborn. Sometimes we're prideful. I don't know. There are many different things that can be under the surface that keep us from just coming and falling down before God and saying, God, please help me. God, I need you. God, I cannot do this myself. Do you know, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. Don't let pride, don't let I've got to do this myself mentality. Don't let that rob you. No, just come to the Lord and let him strengthen your heart. Wait on him. And that is the posture that we then take. Our faith results in this posture of waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm believing the Lord. I was talking to some friends today, and of course, as you know, the pastor of this church and the church here has many different facets to it. We have properties and we have ministries and literally in places all around the world. And in a time like this, that is very, very challenging, very, very difficult. And so I was talking to a couple of friends today, and they weren't so much asking me, what are you going to do? Because they understand that it's not what am I going to do that matters. It's what's the Lord going to do. But as we were talking amongst each other, it was just a continual falling back on the fact that, you know what? We're just waiting on the Lord. We're depending on him. There's nothing we can do. I don't have any power, but God has power. And my life is God's, and the work of the ministry is God's, and you are God's, and your family belongs to God, and all of these things, and you don't know what to do. Well, I think of that story where the particular king, I can't remember if it was who it was right now. I don't think it was Hezekiah, but anyway, one of the kings, I'm forgetting the name of the one that it actually was, I think. But there's this point where the enemy is coming in like a flood against them. And this was their cry, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And that's what we're talking about here, waiting on the Lord. I don't know what to do about a lot of things. I don't have the strength to do anything about a lot of things, but the Lord does. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to remember, Lord, I belong to you. I'm your son. I'm your servant. You redeemed me. You died and rose again to save me. You called me to be your child. You called me to be your servant. And so, Lord, I'm looking to you. And that's what David said. That's what he exhorted us to do. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. And as we wait on him, he strengthens us. And practically speaking, waiting on him, it means waiting, like we're pausing, we're just waiting, we're looking with expectation. God's going to do something. And we don't have a time frame. We're not saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to wait till this date, and then it's too late. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. We don't want to do that. No, we just keep waiting. We're waiting on the Lord. And again, we're seeking him. Like David said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. I'm seeking the Lord. And you know, as we're seeking the Lord, we might find that we thought that it was this way, but God, as we seek him, we say, no, actually, I want to do this. And I'm going to do it this way. And we might get a whole redirection from the Lord. We had this thing going and it was amazing and it was going to go this direction and it's all blown to bits. And so we're thinking, we got to get back on track. We got to get that thing going. But then we stop and we wait on the Lord and we start seeking him. And the Lord's like, no, I wasn't going in that direction anyway. You were out in front of me. No, here's what we're doing. Here's where we're going. And the Lord will bring us in a fresh new direction. So wait on the Lord. And I can't finish today without referring to the great, great passage on this very topic of waiting on the Lord. And by the way, that's the title of this song of the saints that we're looking at today. I've entitled it, Wait on the Lord. And the great passage is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 30. I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to pray. The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Here it is. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
For the month of February, Back to Basics Radio is offering a DVD and CD set titled Marriage Essentials by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson. Join Brian and Cheryl in this hilarious yet deeply serious dialogue that is so much fun to watch. Whether you're married or single, there's much to gain from their experiences and insights as they profoundly apply the powerful Word of God to marriage. Learn how to encourage, esteem, and enjoy one another in marriage in this refreshingly real, painfully personal, yet powerfully practical message filled with freedom and grace. This also makes a great gift for a newlywed couple or a helpful resource for a marriage in trouble. It also makes an excellent tool for a marriage ministry. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbroderson.uk to order this DVD and CD set titled Marriage Essentials by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD by Pastor Brian and Cheryl as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Songs of the Saints. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.